Tomorrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before, and the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it's early. It's not Purple Friday. It's a Victory Monday as we are recording this episode. The Ravens were lucky enough to squeak away with a win against those Cleveland Browns this past Sunday. Thank goodness for JT Justin Tucker, that guy with the golden leg. Thank God he's a Raven. Joining me as always to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? We normally don't record on Mondays because, like, you don't have a voice, you're tired from being at the bank all day Sunday, but here we are, it's Victory Monday. How's it going, man? How you feeling?
Yeah, I was kind of squeaky a little bit this morning, but I got it to work, so yeah. we're able to get it done. Yeah, I was able to rest up my voice knowing that I needed it today. Yeah, we were talking off the record before we started the official recording, and then you, like, went right into it, and I'm, like, blown away. I'm, like, because I was, like, oh, it's a Blue Monday, and you're, like, they won, and I'm, like, I don't feel like it. And they're like, you're so enthusiastic. And I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I really feel like they lost. Like, why do I feel like that? And I was there. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a manner to happen. I mean, hey, a win's a win, right? It's all important. They're 2-0 division. They're in first place, obviously, by half a game because the Bengals match up. They have that right now in their pocket. I don't know. I mean, I put in the Discord before, obviously, I went silent and started actually being engaged. But I was like, we're in for a long day, right? Like, you're right down the field, score 7. The defense can't cover the tight end. You know, it was one of those, okay. And the offense looked vanilla. I don't know, man. I just still feel like there's so much work that they can be doing here. There's so many concerns. I don't know where to start. I mean, but you're right, man. You know, win against the divisional opponent. They did take a 10-point lead into the second half. They had it again. They got whittled the 3. They held on. So, hey, something rejoiced. They didn't blow the fourth quarter lead, at least in this game. So, but I don't know. I just feel a little bit mum because it's just like – and you sent me the schedule earlier today, the remaining schedule. They got 10 games left, right? And – you know, you look at it, they go 7-3 the rest of the way. They're 11-6. I predicted 12-5, 11-6. You know, 11 wins probably definitely gets you in a wild card, maybe win a division. So it's like, you know, and they have 4 division games out in the next 10, the last 10, I should say. Not next 10, it's the last 10. So I don't know. I mean, you know, you don't want to look ahead. Obviously, the next opponent's Thursday. It's a very quick turnaround. You know, our next opponent's reeling. But speaking of the Browns game, I mean, it was your typical division rivalry game, back and forth, right? Very chippy, so close. You know, there was some give, some take from both teams. I mean, look, again, win's a win, but again, I got concerns. What say you, bro? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I had concerns even before the game even started, given the fact that we recorded last week on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, something like that, before an injury report came out. And we saw that Lamar Jackson, he was either limited or he didn't practice on Wednesday due to a hip injury. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's Lamar. Come on. What are you doing? He's missing practice. That's not good. Then we hear that J.K. Dobbins is out 4 to 6 weeks. So it's not going to be J.K. and Gus the Bus for this game against the Browns. So, I mean, I gave it was 2017 was going to be the final score. The Ravens were going to get a win. I mean, if I knew that J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards weren't going to be the two running backs, I may have changed my answer. So I was concerned before the Ravens even hit the field on Sunday. I guess my concerns have kind of alleviated a little bit because Gus the Bus made an immediate impact, which was great to see. But before we get too far into the weeds here, I do want to discuss J.K. Dobbins. So J.K. Dobbins, we all know he missed all of last year due to a torn Achilles. He worked really hard. He was able to come back on like a limited basis. He was still on a snap count. And now he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks for a knee injury. That's why we were all wondering why we didn't see him in the fourth quarter, you know, two Sundays ago, is because he was having this this problem in his knee. Now he's having a surgery. He's going to be back 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know what the severity of that injury is. However, if you're a running back and you've already torn your Achilles and now you got a problem with your knee and you're having surgery, that's going to have massive, massive effects on your career as a running back. Like, I hate to say this. I really, really hate to say this, but have we already seen the best of J.K. Dobbins? Is it all downhill from here? Because how is a bad ankle and a bad knee affecting a running back position? That's, you need your legs for the running back position, pretty much. I mean, J.K., he fought everything he could to get back for week one this past year. So the guy is a fighter. The guy doesn't like to stay down long. But, geez, can he come back from this? Can he do it? I hope so, but I don't know. Those are very serious injuries.
It is, and I think he can. To your point here, I want to give you some insight on the Dobbins situation, because we found out it did come to light at this past weekend on what the situation was and is going for the future. So apparently Dobbins is having his injured knee scoped out because he was having range of motion issues with the scar tissue. Basically, the whole 4 to 6 weeks is the recovery rate to get full motion and range back. Apparently, Harbaugh said, quote, he wanted to do it. He just wanted to take a shot, speed up the process. So apparently, it doesn't sound like it's like more damage. It's more like it may have been kind of minor re-aggravated, but at the same time, Dobbins wants to take that procedure as a precaution. And not only that, but as a possible remedy to get back to that 100%. So I think this has turned into a situation where it's for the better. You could even say, because it's not like it's a more of a partial tear or re-aggravated or re-injured. It's more like, let's get this thing cleaned up, you know. And then it comes to mind when you think about that situation is, well, did they do a – why didn't they do that in the first place? Or, what caused it to get to this point, you know. But – you know, we could play doctor all day long, me and you, but the fact remains is we're not going to have him for a month and a half. You know, could be back in late December on the holiday run, but we wish J.K. the best in his recovery and get him back into the backfield. But his co-pilot, Gus Edwards, was the leading man on Sunday. Boy, did he come back with a vengeance. No slow go there, man. Two touchdowns out of the gate for Gus Edwards. And if you're on the playing in fantasy like I did in one team and on the bench in others, good well for you. 18 points, man. So great to see Gus the Bus back. I'm doing damage in the wrecking crew for the Ravens rushing attack. And not so much for Kenyon Drake. Afterthought, Kenyon had well over 100 yards last Sunday and a touch. What, he had like a handful of carries for like five measly yards. So yep. Kenyon Drake was an afterthought. Couldn't really have those lanes to run in as Gus did. But hey, Gus, welcome back. And it was a great addition to the team. And they welcome back Rashad Bateman as well, who got in the mix a little bit. Yep. You know, what's lost in the sauce in this win here, a glaring stat. And it isn't Lamar Jackson's stat line. Mark Andrews didn't log a single catch in this game.
Not one.
He took a snap under center, handed off to Lamar. So he had a handoff.
On National Tight End Day.
Yeah, I heard that. Is that even a thing?
NFL's trying to make it a thing. They really are. They got t-shirts out and everything.
National Pizza T-Shirt Day. Like, it's some random, like.
I fully support National Pizza T-Shirt Day. I will wear one of those pizza t-shirts. Someone get me one of those.
And I made that up. I don't even know what Pizza T-Shirt Day is. I only said that because I had pizza for lunch today. You know what? I mean, National Tight End Day or not, Andrews with zero catches is an anomaly. Shouldn't happen. But what's more incredible is the Ravens win a football game and he didn't get involved. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if it was scheme. I don't know if it was way. But look, we know Lamar only threw it 16 times all game. It's four passes a quarter, but the Ravens did run it 44 times. Apparently it's a season high so far. They must have heard me after the Giants game because I'm like, run the rock.
Yeah. I mean, we know they listen to us.
That's what they did. I think the first seven plays of the game were all runs, if I remember, something like that. Like, they didn't throw it much. And when they did, it just wasn't effective. But, no, collectively, especially in the first half, man, I thought the offense was vanilla. I thought that they couldn't really get anything going. Mm-hmm. They had no rhythm. There was no oomph. There was no swag. There was no confidence. I just don't know where to start with still breaking down this offensive struggles because, you know, and something came to mind because we talked about last week, right? The whole Lamar MVP performance and got to put the team on your back and make the plays. Listen to this. We already know Lamar Jackson, you know, single out his play. First 3 weeks, he was on his MVP tear, right? Statistically, apparently he was having a better year on pace-wise than his 2019 year. We always compare that year. He was on tear to pretty much fantasy-wise break the records and barriers there of the most fantasy points scored in a position. Apparently, Jackson had, in the first 3 weeks, 102.26 fantasy points scored in the NFL fantasy football. They translate to 34.09 points per game. Pretty awesome. I know you don't play fantasy, Brandon, but a quarterback or any fantasy player averaging that over 3 weeks, unstoppable. Yeah. And a lot of people I know had Jackson on their team had a good record at that point, whether they were 2-1-3-0 in fantasy, pretty good. Lamar Jackson, weeks 4 through 7, only 54.62 points, and that translates to 13.66 points per game. Wow. Where did those 20 points go? Per game, at least, for fantasy-wise. Not only that, but Lamar had 10 passing touchdowns in week 3, 12 total touchdowns. Dude, I have to go back through the stats. I think he's got like one total touchdown, maybe two, in the last 4 weeks. And you go back to the Giants game in this game, he's got one. He had a touchdown pass to Mark Andrews in the fourth quarter.
So what is happening? Because you're saying his stats are going down. However, the offensive line has gotten healthier with the return of Ronnie Stanley.
Right.
Tyler Lindenbaum, I put this up on our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. It was a tweet I found. I put that on our tailgate talk. Tyler Lindenbaum threw 6 games, 218 pass blocking snaps, 0 sacks allowed. 0 sacks allowed in those 6 games. So his stats are going, Lamar's stats are going down, but his offensive line's getting healthier. So he's got more time to let plays happen. So what's going on?
Well, what I saw this Sunday, I didn't think as far as pass blocking was concerned, they didn't do Lamar any favors. I mean, you saw it, right? Yeah. How many times was Lamar getting sacked or running for his life or the play breaking down? There was 2 plays in a row where Lamar dropped back to pass, whether it was shotgun or not. Before he can plant and look down the field, he was being chased by at least 2 Browns defenders. Like, come on, man. I'm like standing up in the stands with my hands up, like, will somebody block for 8? Like, I'm like yelling at the line. Obviously, they ain't going to hear me in the stands up top, but like, really, I'm going hoarse yelling at the offensive line like I'm their coach because I'm just like, will somebody hold their assignments? Like, let the play develop. And everybody's like complaining, like, we can't get any offense. I'm like, well, yeah. And the guy behind me was like, well, yeah, it's kind of hard when Lamar don't have the kind of time he needs. And then you give him the time, he can make those throws or make the plays develop. But what I want to start there, because my beef is with Greg Roman, man. I don't know if you saw the chatter online, but his name's come up a lot. Dude, again, I hate to sound like this, right? Because I don't want anybody to get fired, lose their jobs. It's still at the end of the day, he's providing for his family. It's his livelihood, right? But I don't want him to be on his team anymore. Like, I'm sorry, I'm advocating for him to get fired. I don't know. And again, you almost want to be careful with this because he was still the offensive coordinator who obviously orchestrated and kind of coordinated that offensive scheme through 2019, Lamar's MVP year, right?
Right.
When we put up a lot of points and this and that. I just don't know where the creativity is or what goes through his mind. Again, I'm nowhere near football status, offensive coordinator, mastermind. But I look at common sense, Brandon. The common sense to me says, if Lamar's line isn't blocking for him for the pass blocking, at least, right? Can't let the play develop. They're calling plays. Like Lamar's like trying to, whatever plays that are being called and the line it breaking down, and the line breaking down is not on purpose. It just happens. But the kind of plays that these are happening on, they're trying to like let the play develop. Like they're long pass plays, or it looks like it, because Lamar's like looking first progressions and the ball's still in his hands. To me, that would think, I would want to kind of get with the offense or get with Harbaugh or get somewhere and say, hey, have a conversation where, why don't we try to be more creative and say, okay, if the line's going to break down in coverage and not, you know, block up front, at least to have give Lamar that kind of time, why don't we call the plays to get the block quicker? Why don't we call quick slants and over, you know, where the linebackers are and all that? And again, the line, I don't know if it's breaking down on just a four-man rush or if it's a blitz package they're breaking down on and there's gaps. I had to go back to the highlights. I mean, luckily for me, I record all the games I'm at. I attend. So I did. I do have the game on DVR. I almost want to go back, and I didn't yet because obviously it's still fresh and I haven't had kind of time yet. But I almost want to go back and look on those plays. Did the Browns rush a lot of people in a blitz package, or was it just a four-man, you know, was it just four-man rushing the quarterback and did they just get through the line? With the line didn't block, but if it's a four-man rush, obviously the Ravens have more in the line. I don't know. I just feel like there's no more creativity there for Roman to go into. And I put that on his shoulders and responsibility. I mean, yeah, the players have to make the plays, and Lamar's got to be Lamar and play better. Or when I say Lamar being the 2019 Lamar, at least Lamar being, you know, let's get something going here. But you get where you're sensing where I'm going with this is,
sure,
I don't think the Ravens adjust, and it starts with offensive creativity. And that's why I brought up the word vanilla a lot in stands yesterday. I'm like, this offense is vanilla. There's no creativity. They're trying to it's like Bateman's back, and then it's like every play in the playbook's like a four wide verticals, like you're playing Madden. Like, let's just go deep, like street yard ball, and just get beat your man and get open, and I'll throw it to you. Like, Where's the tight end slants, and where's the bubble screens? Like, you look at offenses that are successful, Buffalo, Kansas City, New England back in the day, they killed you with those little kind of paper cut plays and dinks and dunks and bubble screens. And it's like the Ravens, I feel like it's just like, oh, let's go find Bateman 40 yards down the field. If he's not there, Andrews will be there 20 yards down the field. Like, the Ravens don't have the offensive talent to let these plays develop. Now they work once in a while, but I just feel like that could have been, that's something I like to see. And I think I'm more frustrated at that than wins and losses at this point, because it's just like, again, easy for me to sit there in the stands and criticize when I can see it all and I'll develop and all that. But that's what I observe, and it's frustrating me because it's just like, and I see it online with some of our followers. They get the same old Ravens. They don't adjust. It's let's just roll. We roll and see if it works. And if it's not going to work, we're going to keep doing it till it works. Like, they don't adjust, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. They don't adjust. You know, luckily for us, Lamar only threw it 16 times, 120 passing yards, no touchdowns, no picks, no interceptions. So zeros across the board, but he didn't make the big mistakes as he did against the Giants, where he threw the pick inadvertently and then fumbled the football carelessly. He plays with his legs. There was a big third and long that the Ravens were stuck in. Again, pass rush got to him. He was running around for his life, found some daylight, got the first down barely, but he did. And like my dad was pointing out in our conversations after the game, if that was a pocket passer, and we're not calling him Joe Flacco or anything, we're just saying a pocket passer, that was your traditional pocket passer, and we didn't have Lamar's legs, the Ravens probably wouldn't have had any of those drives sustained and or points on the board, because Lamar kept some of those plays alive and his drives alive by moving the chains because of that ability to do that. So a lot of it was a lot of breakdowns. It just, you could sense my frustration with everything. Like, even though they won the game, it's kind of like, I'm going to hammer them, man, because you showed me the schedule. It's like, oh, and we get it. It's a soft schedule, and there's mediocrity in the NFL, and these guys have losing records, and we can take to them. But I'm like, record schmeckards, man. Like, Ravens can line up and get – I mean, look what happened this past Sunday. The Bucs and Packers both lost to inferior teams, which shouldn't have happened. You know, there's a lot of parity in the NFL right now. There's a lot of one-score games. There's a lot of surprises there. I mean, look, the Washington Commanders just beat the Green Bay Packers in a surprising attack. And on the same Sunday – look, Lamar, but on the same Sunday, but not comparing them, obviously, but they play each other, their teams, and they play each other this next Thursday. But Lamar and Tom Brady didn't log a touchdown on Sunday, and they play each other on Monday. So it's just – or Thursday, I should say. So, no, there's – that's the concern I have. There's no creativity. It's just mediocrity across the board. And a win's a win. I get it, bro. But – but it is an important win at that, because you have to feel like, you look at the division, if they did lose, that means the Browns already have a markup on them. The Ravens would have been 3-4. The Browns would have been the same record, right? Yeah, because they're 2-5 now with the Steelers. So, and then the Bengals already won. So we would have probably been sitting in maybe, what, third place right now instead of first. So that's the difference, and that's a margin. And the Ravens are in prime position after 7 weeks. They are division leader with a one game above 500 record. So, unpacking all that. With that being said, what say you, brother? What do you make of all that long winded assessment that I had there with unpacking it all? What you got?
I do think you bring up some great points about the offense, that they are kind of just run of the mill. I mean, they're nothing spectacular. A win is a win, though, especially a division win. My hope is that we are 2 weeks away from the half point of the season. So my hope is that this kind of energizes the team. It gets them going, because like a division win is a division win. It kind of, it's a bigger deal because, you know, we know Cleveland so well and we're going to see them again. So I think, I hope this is like this will move the needle a little bit and get these guys going into the right direction. I was impressed with the special teams. I thought they did really well. On offense, I think the only guy who has really shown up this year is Devin Duvernay. I mean, the commentators call him Dangerous Devin Duvernay.
Double D.
Yeah, I love what I see from Devin Duvernay. He's really impressing here. And Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, I mean, that's a really good duo to have there at wide receiver. Really odd to not see Mark Andrews get a catch. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns knew that they could take away Lamar's favorite target, and they did that. And then the defense, Marcus Peters, man, he is becoming a detriment to this team. He is not playing good football. He's playing really dumb. It's almost like, how many times can this guy get flagged before he's going to change his game up? I think he didn't look good on the defense, but I was really impressed with Calais Campbell, with Justin Houston. Kyle Hamilton got his first career sack. Allegedly, he didn't even get one of those in college, so that was good to see from our first-round draft pick. But Marcus Peters, he's really becoming a bad mark for this defense, because he's not playing correctly. He's constantly getting flagged. He's constantly costing this team yards. It's really rough to see him out there right now. I don't know if he's still getting over that injury, at least in his head or whatever, but it's been a different Marcus Peters than we've seen in the last year or so when he was with the Ravens. This year, he just seems like he's learning the game again.
Yeah, it's almost like learning it all over again. You know, to that point, do you want that at this stage right now? Like, thinking about that, is that something that you want at this stage? And I don't know. I don't know if it's something that we want to explore. I mean, you can always grow and evolve, right, and learn new things. But at this point, it's kind of like get it in gear, get going. And, yeah, you know, before you know it, you know, one of your predictions could come true, right? You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, you want to take it game by game and you look at it holistically, and it's like the same old, you know, and I don't know. You can hear it. I just don't know what sense in this team, what the identity, and we've talked about that a lot. The team's identity, who we want to be, who they are. You know, two, three years ago, you knew who they were, right? You knew what they were about. Right. I'm going to pull up something Ronnie Stanley said, and it kind of stood out at me for this show. Ronnie Stanley was actually interviewed about the whole run situation, right? Because we understand they ran it 44 times, Sonny Pace at 16. Big, it wasn't balanced. It was a big disparity. Ronnie Stanley quoted, "To me, the ground and pound mentality is identity of this team." That's what he said right there. Okay, so he's calling the team ground and pound, a team offensively. And think we are getting back to that, to who we were, who we are. So Ronnie Stanley, offensive line, he blocks for them all, blocks for Lamar, blocks for the running backs. His philosophy feels like the identity of this team offensively is ground and pound. They're getting back to that, to who they are. That's who they are. And that's where I want to drive it, because I started with the whole Greg Roman inability to be creative situation, at least in my eyes, my perspective. I'm going to challenge you on this one, because you made a bold prediction that you think either one John Harbaugh or Lamar Jackson is not going to be on the Baltimore Ravens as far as is concerned as of next year. You think one of them is going to be moving on. I want to take a step further than that, because obviously I want the offensive coordinator going is my wishes, but I don't want the team. It's been said before by Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young that Lamar, at some Lamar, right? Because he has to have the ability to grow as a not only a passer, but as a pure athlete, a player. But he felt that it was the offensive scheme that's holding Lamar back, not Lamar solely himself. Because Greg Roman runs a run-heavy offense. That's who he is. And Ronnie Stanley just alluded to it, ground and pound. That's who we are. When you think about 2019, when they brought in Mark Ingram, I felt like they got back to that. And then Greg Roman really flourished because he had the tools there. And then Lamar came into his own. Lamar started, obviously, the year with throwing 5 touchdowns. He didn't rush 5 touchdowns. He passed. So Lamar evolves the passer because the run opens up the pass. But I feel like the identity of this team has always been ground and pound with Greg Roman at helm. And I don't think that Lamar can be fully released with the kind of Greg Roman type of style offense. And that's kind of why I'm clamoring for a change. That's why it's so vanilla, because it's like, you know, I feel like when I look at what's going on out there and everybody's like, what's going on, Lamar? I think it's just a lot. I think it's too much pressure for Lamar. And I think the schemes are putting a bottle on him down, you know, and I'm not using that as a sidestep of his descension since week 3 of this year, just focusing on 2022 solely, but even look at it holistically. You know, offensively, he's taken, you know, since 2019, he's gotten hurt a few times, and, you know, the mistakes have been there, especially the Giants game, you know, and then you look at the Bills game, didn't put the team away in the fourth, and then he didn't make the mistakes. You know, the Ravens are like, you can see they're kind of evolving and learning from the mistakes. Like, they made the mistakes against the Giants that killed them last time. They didn't turn a ball. I mean, they kind of turned a ball over at the end with the fumble. That's one thing they couldn't do with that final drive, but they held their own. The defense didn't give up that lead. They held their own in the fourth and snuffed out, you know, even though how crazy it was, still close, even though they had 20 seconds left. It's just, hey, the hay was almost in the barn. Wasn't there yet. We weren't moving our seats until the clocks hit 000. But you know what? You know, and that's kind of what I want to go back to. And I kind of, you know, my one and only probably post mid game, you know, what I loved about the Ravens is, even though with their offensive woes and the ability to do things, look at the whole take the points crowd. Because remember when we it was like deja vu. Well, it's probably going through your mind, wasn't it, when they lined up on the fourth in goal and was like at the, like the what half a yard line? And I'm like, here we go. And then you had the murmur in the crowd. Do you take the field goal? Do you go for it? Do you get it? Luckily, Gus Edwards got a second touchdown on that, and they got it. And that's why I kind of said the whole take the points crowd, you can take a seat, because, hey, they got it. And that ultimately was the difference in the game for them. So it's like there. They made the play there. Why couldn't they do it against the Bills? Like, they're slow. Like, you're seeing them slowly get there. But it's like kind of like, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like, when are they going to get there? And there was a stat out there, and they were compared to the Patriots teams of old with Tom Brady at the helm. The Ravens have held double-digit leads in all 7 of their games. Obviously, we know they blew 3 leads in this historical proportions in 3 of those. But if the Ravens don't do some things in those games, defensively and offensively and collectively, they're an undefeated football team right now, but they're not. And we don't want to keep rehashing that. It just stings, because it's kind of like, what could have been? It isn't like it was a back forth game. And if it was like a Lee Evans great play, like, oh, well, if the receiver just held on to the ball, we would have won a game. Like, they had leads. They didn't close out people. This one, they kind of like, it was a collective sigh of relief. They close out the Browns. But again, without some controversy, there was a lot of controversy this morning. Talked about that whole false start penalty. You know, from our perspective in the stands, it looked like the Ravens jumped off sides. I'm like, here we go. We're going to go in overtime against this team. I can't believe it. I was already about to throw up. I was like, then they called the false start on the Browns. I look back at the replays now being live and now seeing it. I could see maybe why they went the Browns penalty versus the Ravens side. I don't know. But collectively, it was a pretty ugly win. And on the way out of stadium, someone reminded me of something Trent Dilfer said in that whole 2000 run. Yeah, Trent Dilfer, paraphrasing him some form of fashion, said, "We're going to write a book on how to win ugly in the NFL." And I was like, I looked at the guy with what voice had left. I said, "Ravens are back to winning ugly, baby." I said, "To win, but boy, it doesn't feel like it, does it? Because it's just, it's like, it just was so ugly. It just had ugly written all over it, man. I mean, the way it started, they had to climb down out of a 7-0 hole early. They couldn't stop Njoku in the passing game. That Chubb was gashing him a little bit. Brissett was making plays that just seemed like that he shouldn't have been making, and the defense had some lapses. So collectively, still got things to work on. There was a few bright spots. I mean, the Ravens had pressure on Brissett. You know, Patrick Queen had a few good plays there. You have to give it up to Clayce Campbell, forcing the fumble. So when it was needed, I mean, in a day where seemingly the Ravens had all the mojo their way, you know, they had over 50 coaches and former players represented, and that's kind of what I really want to talk to you about. You know, it was kind of underlying thought, because obviously there's an important game to be played. But being on TV, did they mention that at all? I didn't get a chance to hear. Did they mention the whole reunion? Did they show the players on TV? Did that happen at all?
They did show Ed Reed coming out taking pictures with the Lombardi Trophy. And
yeah, he had the Lombardi. He's right. You're right. He held that thing close.
And they did show just some, I guess, photos of the Super Bowl celebration right before a commercial break. But that was about it. Like, they didn't show. I think it was just the Ravens social media. I saw everybody in, like, it was the same, like, white jacket or something. The whole team came out. So you saw and you saw Ray Lewis and Pitta and Suggs and Matt Burke, I think, was there. Marshall Yanda may have been there. So I saw some of that on social, but it was very briefly during the broadcast brought up.
Yeah, no, I was interested to hear your perspective on if they kind of covered that. Speaking of socials and that whole situation, you know Tony Lombardi, Russell Street, right? Russell Street Report, very prominent in the Ravens media. He kind of called out one Bernard Pollard. I don't know why he singled Bernard Pollard out. Nothing negative about Tony or anything. I'm just curious as why he singled out Bernard. But anyway, he was kind of like prodding on socials, saying like, hey, the team's celebrating their 10-year run or the anniversary of the run 10 years ago. But it reportedly Bernard Pollard, he's like, it dawned on me, brother, Bernard Pollard didn't get the invite. Bernard fired back. This is his tweet. Didn't get an invite, ? Why are you so worried about if I'm there or not? I'm back home dealing with family matters if you really want to know. I followed Bernard on Twitter. He's very active. He's replied to me before. Mm-hmm. I wrote back, didn't expect anything, but I wrote back, hope all is well, here or not, never forget your contributions, especially the hit on Ridley in the championship game that caused the fumble. Never forget that, man, right? Remember Stephen Ridley got knocked out, caused the fumble. It was turning, you know, one of the turning points in the game. He actually responded to me saying two words, appreciate you. So it was pretty cool to hear from Bernard that morning. And then he actually did a post with the ring and said, couldn't be there, but you know, it was kind of like the whole thing never forget kind of deal. And that's the thing, like, yeah, you can't bring everybody back, and whether bridges are burned or not, it is good to remember the moments. And on a Sunday where it was certainly emotional for me remembering those moments of that run, for me personally, because it was special in its own right. But you know, seeing the nostalgia in the building, you know, seeing, you know, Ed Reed, Ray, Suggs, you know, to come to mind, the big names, then you're seeing, you know, Dennis Pitt on the field, Jimmy Smith, you know, all these unsung heroes. Ray Rice was in the building, man. Got an ovation from the fans, by the way. He was on the field. You know, Haluti Ngata was there. You know, just some of the good names and going down the ranks. Marshall Yanda was there. You know, looking back, you know, it was certainly something to remember. And, you know, you would hope that it was a catalyst. And they did say, Ray and Ed Reed spoke to the team as well as I knew some at halftime. And they kind of did say, you know, they kind of use it as inspiration. I think they did address this current squad, the 22-2 squad, but Ray kind of put out there, said, you know, let's get another one. Let's bring home a third one, you know, and, you know, maybe this is the turning point of the season. Looking back, who knows if we use this ugly win as, hey, the greats were in the building collectively. You know, they had the AFC Championship trophy and the Lombardi trophy on the field. Because they were running out of tunnel. Ed Reed had it front and center at the beginning of the player introductions. And I kind of was like, run by glory. It's what glory is, Lombardi's called. And I was like, run by glory, because that's what you guys are playing for, man. And, you know, it's in the facility. They know the history. But it was good to see them out there. And a cool thing about it was fourth quarter of the game. You know, they have those suites and those under the scoreboards in the corners of the stadium.
Right.
Apparently, Ed Reed and Marcianda and company were the one right next to us, two sections over. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
So he was very close by. Got a snap of every read. I'll put it on there on the socials, but didn't yet. I haven't gone through the game day photos. But yeah, man, I mean, it just was the energy was in the building. But that's kind of, I got long winded in saying the point there is the energy was in the building, but it didn't translate to the team. They just looked lethargic. And I'm like, what is up? There's no spark. Like, we're all energized in the stands, and the greats are in the house, are showing in the Jumbotron. It's like the Ravens are just like sleepwalking out there. Like, what is up? And everybody called it out too. They're like, Lamar don't look the same, and he looks like he's just going through the motions and ho-hum. And I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. And maybe a change, everybody maybe is claiming for a change is needed, but there's someone light a spark under this team and get excited, because I just feel like the fans are the only ones that are, you know, giving a crap at this point. I don't know.
I don't know if it's all the fans, though, because judging from what I saw on TV yesterday, there was a lot of purple chairs without people sitting in the stadium.
There was. And I know that's always the talking point. I know. Where are you trying to go with that, man? No, I was kidding. There was. I was actually surprised, being that this wasn't, like, around the holidays, or it wasn't, like, 80 degrees and sunny and people are at the beach like you. Yeah, I know you're at the beach again. By the way, where did you catch it this time? What place did you frequent?
I went to Tail Chasers on 123rd Street.
These names of these restaurants, Tail Chasers.
Tail Chasers, yeah. So,
the Ravens have been chasing their tail for sure.
You go there, you get a raffle ticket, and if your name gets pulled, you get a free jersey of a team of your choice.
Not just the Ravens, a team of their choice?
A team of your choice, a sport of your choice even. Unfortunately, I did not win. I wanted a Tucker jersey, but I did not get
those greats – of any sport, you're gonna go to Tucker.
Like, I will take a Tucker, yes.
Not take a Jerry Rice jersey. Not take a Joe Montana jersey.
I want the GOAT. I want the GOAT. I want JT.
Well, we are playing the GOAT this week, but it's not JT. It's 12.
Well,
but he ain't looking GOATish this year, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a GOAT put out to pasture at this point. That's what it looks like. But. You want to get into it? You want to jump over? Let's talk about this.
I think it's time. I mean, we put the Browns to rest. I mean, we understand there's concerns. They slept well. They got through it. Wasn't the best statistically. It wasn't pretty. But look, I'll put a nice bow on it if you want me to. Ask me any day. And this is just me. Can't speak for the players, obviously. Can't speak for other fans. They might feel indifferent. But love to hear your spin. But I rather – my favorite football team win ugly, then lose pretty. Because look, I'm not going to do it on the show for the sake of time and boredom, but I can read off, if you want to talk about stats, I can read off a lot of quarterback stats that were way better than Lamar's that lost the football game on Sunday. One being Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had a better stat line than Lamar, and he lost the football game. So would you rather have the pretty stats with Lamar and lose? Or would you rather him have 120 passing yards, no touchdowns, no picks, and win the game? Like, at the end of the day, I'm at this point about stacking wins. Stacking wins qualifies you for the NFL playoffs, not throwing for 30, 40 touchdowns a year. Like, that qualifies you in fantasy ranks. And we're not playing fantasy football. The Ravens are playing reality, and the reality is their fourth win gets them tied with the Bengals virtually, but technically it's the division-leading Ravens heading into Week 8 right now. And Week 8 bout – on Thursday Night Football, the second of three prime times and the first of the next two in a row away and prime time before the bye. Thursday Night Football in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's going to be great, man. You know, it's going to be a good matchup. I mean, you obviously got Tom Brady, the GOAT, whatever's going on this year. It's an anomaly. This year for him seems like the Michael Jordan Wizard days. Yeah. Like, it's like at the end of the day, you're going to forget this year existed in his career. Like no one – I remember Michael Jordan's last game because it's one of the greats, and I watched it. But no one would know. Everybody's going to remember Jordan's last game was really what? A shot in Game 6 in the NBA Finals in 98 when he beat the Utah Jazz again, right, for the sixth championship. Everybody's going to remember that last shot, right? They're not going to remember the Wizard days and his true last game. Just like Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith remembers for what? Cowboys. No one's going to remember his last game on the Cardinals, right? He's not going to be remembered for that. Same thing here. It's going to be a lost season for Tom Brady. Should have retired last year. I was excited when he came back unretired. But at the end of the day, he's not doing goatish things right now. And I was just as shocked not only to see the Washington Commanders beat the Packers Washington on Sunday, looked up at that, and I'm like, yo, but we looked at our next opponent score. This is coming off the heels where the Panthers have just done a fire sale, and we play the Panthers in our next home game in a month. We'll get to them later on after our bye week in 3 weeks, but they fired the head coach, trade Robbie Anderson, the receiver, and trade Christian McCaffrey for some draft picks. So it's a fire sale going on in Carolina, right? Rebuild mode.
Right.
I look up at the score. Well, I looked at my fantasy team for one because I have Tom Brady in one of my leagues, many leagues. Done nothing. I'm like, come on, Tom. Like, poking the stick, do something. What are you doing down there? I look at the end of our game. I look at the end of their game. I'm like, did the Carolina Panthers just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers led by Tom Brady's offense 21-3? Did Buccaneers not score a touchdown? Like, are you kidding me? And then I look what happens. First, I think it was the first series in the game. It might have been for the Bucs. I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I just saw highlights. Did you see the wide open touchdown that Mike Evans dropped?
Yeah.
10 yards of separation between him and the nearest defender. How does that happen? Mike Evans is all pro, but see, it happens. Happens to the best of them, and the Bucs couldn't recover from that. They didn't look right since because I saw the highlights. And when Kaplui could have been 7-0 Bucs, instead, they only mustered 3 points all day.
3 points. That's
3 points. Look, and from it's still 12 on the other side of the offense on that team, right? But you have to look at it from this perspective, being a Ravens fan. The Ravens just came off an ugly win against the divisional opponent. They're undefeated in division, which is awesome to say. You know, 2 of their 4 wins against divisional opponents at that. Then you look at it. You look at it from this perspective. The Ravens are playing their next opponent on Thursday, and their opponent this past Sunday put up 3 points all game to their inferior divisional opponent. So they both have in common. You know, divisional opponents. They just played. They're coming together to play in a game on Thursday, short week. Albeit Tampa stays and he goes home. They're in the area, but they. Has short trip from Carolina to Tampa, Florida. The Ravens travel away to Florida. Heard a lot of flock. Ravens flocks going down there, which is going to be good. Caught my best friends and company me touring the game are going down there, and I wish I could join them. Chris and Davis, shout out. Root hard, bring home a dub, I told them. Wish I can make it, but due to some circumstances, I can't. But that's okay. It's one game I would love to get down to. But, yeah, let's break it down. I mean, you know, this game, it can go either way, right? The Ravens could really – take it to Tom Brady and take it to the woodshed because Tom right now, let's call it what it is. He's old and slow, can't move like he used to, and he's probably one of the worst passers when you blitz him. And what I've seen time and time again, what Carolina just did on Sunday, you pressure Tom, he's going to fold.
Yeah,
the Ravens can really ramp up this defensive schemes and the pass rush. That's going to be the key, I think, the Ravens defensively. I mean, the secondary always concerns me and worries me, especially what they were doing against the Browns. I even reaching back out to that matchup. I don't know what Marcus Peters is doing. I don't know if he's lost a step. I don't know what's going on, but I'm like,
he went for a slight jog with just over 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Just like a nice little jog there. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Well, my dad was calling him out too, because apparently he's doing this gamble thing where he likes to do, like, he likes to gamble on plays and he's biting on the double moves. And then he's trailing the whole time. And then when he's looking like he's covering the receiver in the stadium when I'm there live, I'm like, turn around, like he's not playing the ball. And then luckily he got bailed out on a PI call, which, again, it could have gone either way, but I'm glad it went in the Ravens' favor because he did slightly push off to get separation, but is what it is. But, you know, yeah, the secondary concerns me with, obviously, Mike Evans and Tom Brady and Russell Gage and what they got going on. But and Leonard Fournette's a big bruising runner. But if the Panthers can bottle them up, well, I can't wait. But – it is the Baltimore Ravens defense. Put an exclaimer out there and an asterisk next to it. So, but the Ravens have to continue the keys, you know, pass rush, especially in this game, not blueprint every game, but key is going to be the pass rush, the defensive to get to Tom Brady, Ravens not turning the ball over, take care of the football and executing. And hopefully they can close it out in fashion, but this game can go either way, right? It's a tale of two teams. Obviously the Bucs are 3-4 and the Ravens are 4-3. It's going to be a good one on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be one of the better matchups. I know the complaint was the last few Thursday Night Football games have been a snooze fest. The last one was a doozy, right? yeah, Cardinals and Saints lighting up the scoreboard, and it was a firework show with all these points scored. I think it was like over 70 total points combined. It's crazy. They were close to it. So Ravens Bucks, man, that's kind of like my keys to the game to spin on it. What do you make of this matchup, man? Do you think the Ravens can match wits with the Bucks, even though they're down and out? Because the Bucks are really, man, like Todd Bowles said, they're in a dark place. And you think the Ravens are in a dark place. It seems like the Bucks are in a darker place. You know, Tom's not Tom, and Ravens can hopefully take advantage of that.
Yeah, so this Buccaneers team just seems to be in absolute shambles. And the Ravens, I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but unfortunately, the Ravens need to capitalize on the fact that this team doesn't know what they're doing. Don't let this be a game where the Bucs can finally figure out what's going on and right some wrongs that they've done in the last couple weeks. Because I think after this week, the Bucs are off to Germany. They're off to Munich. So
Munich. Yep.
That's a big game for them. That's a big worldwide stage that they're going to be on. Don't let them get a win right before that happens. Now, the Ravens are opening up as a one-point favorite for Thursday's game, and this actually marks only the third time since 2015 that Tom Brady is a home underdog. So that's very interesting that Tom Brady going up against the Ravens is a home underdog. Because, you know, everybody loves Tom. He loves Tom Brady, TB12. He's one of the best ever, if not the best ever. You have to worry about what's going on with the wide receivers for the Bucs, though. It looks like Russell Gage is undergoing an MRI on his hamstring. And Antonio Winfield Jr., he has a concussion, so he will be out for Thursday. So that's two big blows for the Buccaneers team for up against the Ravens. So I think that the Ravens... The only way the Ravens are losing this game is if they do what they did against the Giants or what they did earlier this year, and they beat themselves. They let the other team come back and do it. If you give Tom Brady an inch, he will take a mile. He will exploit you and all your weaknesses. We've seen him do it in the past. If he's having a bad year, if he's having an off year, you know, he's without Gronk. He's without the guys he normally plays with, Antonio Brown, who is off doing odd things.
Oh, my God. Just see his latest two posts.
Yeah.
So guys, sad, man. There's something up.
There's something wrong with him. But Tom Brady is on an island by himself. This team just seems to be in shambles. He's without the coach that he had that he won the Super Bowl with the Bucks with. He's not there anymore. So this is the Ravens game to win. The Ravens have Gus Edwards now looking good at running back. Rashad Bateman seems to be back. Of course, we're recording this on Monday afternoon. We haven't seen an injury report, but I didn't see anything wrong with Lamar this past game. Yes, he had a little bit of a quieter game, but that's not always a bad thing. I think the Ravens can get away with a win in Tampa. I think that this is a good confidence booster this past Sunday. Beating Tom Brady would be an even bigger confidence booster for this team and a good way to rally around Lamar Jackson, hopefully to have a MVP season again, because it's been a little mid, like we've been saying, the last couple games. But I want to see this team come away with a win. I think they can do it. So that's my takeaway. What do you think? These two players that are out for Tampa Bay, the fact that they will not be playing, or, I mean, we don't know. If Russell Gage is undergoing for an MRI, we don't know what the status is of him. But the concussion for Winfield, that means he's going to be out for Thursday. What does it mean if both of these players are out for Tampa?
It certainly is in the Ravens' favor. I think it puts, you know, it certainly puts a damper on what the Buccaneers scheme they can do. And I think it's certainly, yeah, it's in the Ravens' favor, especially if any Buccaneer starter would be down. You don't want to see it, but given the advantages, I think the Ravens can use some. I think the Ravens can take advantage of it and exploit that against the Buccaneers and really go after the backups in that regard and target them. Certainly when it comes to the Ravens' ailments, I feel like even a short week, look at what it is. Ravens are relatively healthy.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything unless you have, but apparently there was a whole, when I say Dobbins situation, like the Giants, apparently Gus Edwards was like held out at the last part of the game and everybody kept saying, where's Gus? Is he hurt?
Yeah,
I had no clue he was even in. I'm so enthralled in the game at this point. I don't even know who's on the field for the Ravens. Because to be honest with you, like you said, there was a lack of, you know, fan base. You know, there was a few spots of empty chairs in the stands, but look, I don't worry about that. I worry about if I'm there. And at that last defensive series, it was pretty stinking loud at M&T on Sunday. So It got cranking. It was, you can I can definitely tell the energy was there for the fans that were there, and they were there to the bitter end. So yeah, I think, you know, not getting away from that and your point there, but yeah, especially with any personnel being down for the Bucs in a short week, it's going to bode in the Ravens' favor. And with the Ravens coming this matchup, you know, healthy as they can be, you know, they got Bateman back on Sunday. They got Gus back on Sunday. Ronnie Stanley's finally playing again. You know, they're getting all their pieces back at the right time. I just hope – now, I don't think this is going to happen until maybe Saints game and or bye week, because when the Ravens play this Thursday, they have a kind of another mini bye week. Then they play the Saints, and then they go on a bye week. So the two names that come to mind are Bowser and Ajabo. Where are they? And in talking about pass rush and getting after Tom Brady, I would love to have these two to get back. But what was a healthy addition to the team on Sunday was Justin Houston in that regard. So I don't expect Bowser and or Ajabo to be out there on a short week. I'd love to see him out there wreaking havoc against Tom Brady. But, you know, look, I think if the Ravens can get out of this game clean, get out of it, maybe hopefully with a dub, right? You know, go 5-3, get a mini bye week, you get 11 days off, play this – actually, you get 12 days because you really play the Saints on Monday night. So they go, look, the Ravens have it set up perfectly for getting their guys back. If they get out of these games healthy, Ravens playing a short week on Thursday in Tampa, Florida. You have a – you know, yeah, you don't play all the way to the following Monday, the last game of that week. Yep. And then you're off for 2 weeks. And then not only that, but you're on a bye week, and then your next game is home. So, you know, so I look at it as if they can get these guys back, they're sitting pretty if they can get through this matchup relatively clean.
Let me bring this up. So I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to end the show with this. So, Mark Viviano, he's a local reporter here, sports reporter for Channel 13 WJZ. He tweeted this out, let's see, on the 24th. So that was as we're recording today at 8:30 in the morning. He tweeted this out at 8:30. If you want to check him out on Twitter, it's at MarkWJZ. The Ravens, 4-3, are improving in play and health with a very accommodating schedule ahead that includes just one opponent currently with a winning record, Cincinnati at 4-3. Path to the playoff appears smooth. Path to the playoffs appears smooth. So look at let me read these off. All right. So we got Tampa, Saints, bye week. Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
That's a lot of mediocre teams.
A lot of mid teams there. Which have been shocking people.
We haven't used that word in this podcast, mid. Oh, man, I need to start bringing that back. Two things I disagree with Mark right off the bat. The Ravens are not improving in play. They're mid. Come on, bro. I mean – They barely squeak by that game. They're not improving anywhere. They need to work on a lot of things. They need to improve. They're not improving. And they are getting healthy. And there's no path to the playoffs right now. Like, the P word should not be brought up. I love – and I get his point, right? I'm just giving – you know, I'm giving the post a hard time. But, you know, look, Ravens aren't anywhere close to a caliber playoff team. If even they want to go deep, they're probably a one and done at this point, if you want to call it, after 7 weeks. Might even squeak by a wild card win, but they're far away from that. And there's a lot of football. There's 10 games left. But like I was talking to you pre-show, because we are actually talking about that very thing, the schedule you texted me about, tweeted me at. And I was like, look, I called them going 12-5 beginning of the year before they even played a regular season game. If they go 7-3 in this 10 game series here, the rest of the way, they're 11-6. There's three losses. More the rest of the way. Looking at that schedule, that could be doable, right? You have to feel with the way Pittsburgh looks with their rookie and the way they're doing. Pittsburgh could easily be a sweep. I mean, and again, I'm just looking at it from the play that we know and what these teams are doing and their capabilities. And again, you don't know till you line up. You don't know. I mean, Jacksonville right now has only have two wins, even though they've been in every game, just like the Ravens have. But if I look back, I think Jacksonville, all their losses were one score. And you look at the Giants, all their wins are one score. And the Giants are 6-1, and Jacksonville 5-2. They're on the losing end of them. And the Ravens, you know what their story is. They hold leads in three of their losses. They're undefeated. Maybe at very worst, 6-1. Very different tune. So, and that leaves you hope. Like, yeah, the Ravens, I feel like, aren't improving. You know, they're improving in some areas, but not – collectively and holistically. I think there's some things where it's like, okay, they did this right, but they didn't do this. Like, look, the Ravens improved. They didn't blow the lead and let they came back off the lead. So the Browns took the lead by 7. Ravens overcame that. They had a 10-point lead, total to 3, but they didn't let the Browns take the lead or even tie it in the fourth. They held. But that was on the hinges of something they didn't do. Mark Andrews didn't get a catch, and they looked lethargic on offense at times, most of the day. It's got to be better than that. Lamar's got to bring this team up, and Lamar's got to play better. I don't know what's up with him. Anyway, but yeah, the schedule, it's favorable. The Ravens don't play, you know, Super Bowl champions, and they don't play the Saints, or not Saints. They don't play the Chiefs. They ain't playing. I mean, they already played the Bills again. We know how that turned out. It's not like they're playing all these bust-all teams. They're not, you know, and the Bengals are hitting a stride, but we don't play them till last game of the year. A lot of football to be played and settled before we tangle up with them again. But Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow right now in the last two games are a two-man wrecking crew. So good thing we didn't play them when they were finding a stride right now. So shows you how awesome that Bengals game was, because they're wrecking it. So, yeah, it's definitely doable. You know, you could maybe, if you look at it, then because the Bengals game is so far down the road, I could chalk that as a loss, but so far. You know, you're right. I don't even see, like, if you look on paper, the Ravens are probably going to be favored, if not most of it, if not all of these games. I think they're favored on Thursday night, if I remember correctly, right? You just said that the Brady is a home dog for what, first or second time in his career?
The third time since 2015.
Yep. So, Ravens are favored in this game. So they should, if you look at it, they should be favored in every game. I mean, Falcons are nobody to talk about. We play the Browns again. Steelers are reeling. Right now, Steelers and Browns are both 2-5.
Yep.
You know, they have as combined as many wins combined as the Ravens have right now by themselves. So, you know, you say you sweep the Browns, you sweep the Steelers, there's 4 wins. And then you're 5-0 in division at that point. There's 4 out of 6 or 7 wins. I mean, it could be easily doable. Jacksonville is one that they might give you a fight. That one's a question mark, but that could easily be a win on the road. You know, it's Jacksonville, but still have firepower, right? You know, the Atlanta Christmas Eve game could easily be a win. Steelers at home could easily be a win. So you're right, but you just don't know with this team, and that's the problem. You know, it's not like it's not like Lamar's throwing 3 to 4 touchdowns a game and they're putting 30, 40 points up. You know, they're back to playing mediocre football, and now it's like, can you count on them to win 7, 8 games out of the last 10? Who knows? But you got to hope that this stretch of football, short week, maybe get out with a win, mini bye week, game, bye week, home game against the Panthers. It's all set up for them. So if they can get everybody back and don't have any more knock on wood big injuries, it sets up for the Ravens to make a run at this thing, whether it's a division crown and more. Who knows? But they're in the driver's seat right now. We're along for the ride, whether you like it or not. Mid or not, they're a division leader. And before the games were playing, like, I don't know if I brought this up on the shows, I don't think I did, but they were the 6th seed in the playoffs coming into this weekend. So, or not the 6th seed, 4th seed at a 3-3 record, and they won. So, you know, even though it's a 4-3 record, there's mediocrity across the NFL, and Ravens are right in the thick of things. They're not out of anything by any stretch of the means, division and or any sort of top playoff seeding, top 3, top 2. But you're right. You know, Mark's got a point. Disagree with some of his points he said, but he's got a point. Soft schedule. Soft schedule. And Ravens could easily take advantage of the opponent's injuries and bad play. And if the Ravens can find their stride, get folks healthy, and Lamar can – you know, reclaim some of that magic he had in the first 3 weeks and wherever it came from. Who knows? You know, Gus gets back to form and continues to run hard like he did Sunday, and God Dobbins gets back in 4 to 6 weeks, and, you know, you get Ojabo and Bowser back, and our guys, you know, start making plays. Who knows, brother? We might be talking about a different football team coming a month. Who knows? But a lot of football to be played, but there's going to be a good one on Thursday night, and I can't wait to get it started.
Yeah, I mean, I love the faith that Mark Viviano has in this team. Just the way he ended it, path to the playoff appears smooth. Now, looking at this team record and what we've seen in the past, I don't know if the path to the playoff appears smooth, but, I mean, looking at the opponents, it should be smooth, but with the way the Ravens play, are they just going to gift wrap a win to one of these teams or two of these teams that we're not expecting? I don't know, like... I have faith that the Ravens can do it, but I also have fear that the Ravens are just going to let another one of these fourth quarters get away from them. So I don't
know.
That's
the problem. That's the problem. You can't, it's almost like you can't trust this team at all.
Yeah.
You can't trust them for anything. So it's kind of like proceed with caution and enjoy the games in front of you, because who knows what the next one's going to bring. They might preserve a lead. They may blow a lead. They might come from behind and not have any lead to blow or preserve. They might have to come from behind 10 instead of holding on to a 10-point lead. And that would be the first time this year where they might have to claw their way back in the fourth quarter and get two touchdowns to win the game somehow. I don't know. Let's not hope it comes to that, but I'd like to have the Ravens for an 8th straight game have a big double-digit lead in the second half, and let's hopefully they can preserve it again. But, I'm going to go on record saying that given the state of affairs, the lesser two evils, I'm actually going to go with the favorite team in this matchup. I think the Ravens are certainly win this football game, especially after the way Tampa played on Sunday. And we know it's Tom Brady, and we know it's a piss off Tom Brady, and we know can Tom play two bad games like that in a row, but dude, I feel like they're in a worse spot than we are. And I say we collectively Ravens. So it's, the Ravens can certainly, they have the personnel, they have the talent to make this matchup work in their favor. They just got to execute, take care of the football. So I certainly think that the Ravens, I think they take victory from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they go improve to a 5-3 record and put Tampa at 3-5. Yeah, even I'm a Tom Brady fan, or I'm a Baltimore fan first and foremost, and I think they're gonna snatch the victory from them and leave them still in that dark place that they are, the bottom of the ocean, looking for that treasure and Tom's 8th Super Bowl victory. But it's a long way for that, and he might not get it this year and might never get it because it looks like he's at the end of his road. Father Time might have caught up with the ageless wonder is Tom Brady, and he's played like most of my life, and it's insane in his career, and we can celebrate that from whatever and whenever it gets to that point, obviously. Certainly think that Ravens can take care of business on Thursday night in the Bucs, and we can really feel good about being 2 games above 500.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Ravens are going to be able to get away with a win as well on Thursday. I'm going to say 27-24 Ravens. That's what I'm going to say.
You said 27-24. I'm actually going to go – I'm not even going to make it that high scoring. I think these two offenses are struggling right now. They put up 26 points combined between the two of them this past Sunday. Obviously, the Bucs only had 3 and Ravens had 23. I'm going to say a score I've already said this year. I'm going to say 21-17 Ravens.
All right, so we're both saying close games.
Close games.
Yeah.
But the Ravens ended victorious, and we'll see if that proves true.
I hope so. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Get out of here. Before we get out of here, I wanted to say thank you to Jimmy Seafood for an awesome time. Obviously, I partake in their tailgate again for the second time this year. I want to say thank you for one reason, because they put on an awesome atmosphere and party, but I celebrated my brother's 30th birthday this past Ravens game. His birthday was well back in July, right? Turned 30, the big 30, but had an opportunity. He's never been to a Ravens game in any football game. So
wow.
I was surprised. So I was like, well, you're going to game, pick a game. We got it worked out with a schedule. We picked the Browns game and it was awesome. Tailgate was awesome. Me and my brother got a picture with the great Haluti Nada. He had a Super Bowl ring on.
Nice.
First time my brother met Ravens player and Finney. He had laid eyes on Super Bowl ring himself. It was pretty cool to see that and experience that. Got appearance of Ray Rice at the tailgate. Enjoyed some, good Jimmy's Eats and the festivities, and then got to go into the game and enjoy that. And I even told my brother, I said, you're in for a treat because you get to see not only like the Ravens and Lamar play and being at your first game, but he got to see a Super Bowl trophy on the field and Ed Reed out there and then Ray coming out to do his dance one more time. I said, you got to see Ray do his dance in person at your one and only first game, right? So and he wasn't even playing, but still he was there. So it was pretty cool to experience it with him and my buddies. It was a treat. So I had a great day overall. I just wanted to say, you know, end it with a good note saying it was a great Sunday and I'm happy they got the dub on that special day for us and never forget it. And it just was the day I remember for the rest of my life, man. So with that, we're going to close this thing out in style and we're going to go hunt for some bucks. Quote the Raven, never mow.
All right, guys and girls, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is join our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server, like us over there, do all the things that you can do on Discord. Talk to us during our game day chat, tailgate with us in our tailgate chat, all those good things. All you got to do is go over and join our Discord. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It's an early week, Thursday night football. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, man. Thursday night football. And if you haven't figured out the secret by now, Thursday night football is only on Prime, Amazon Prime, and you had all this time to get that in gear. So don't be crying the blues if you can't get the game on Thursday. I'm calling you out. You had 8 weeks to figure this out. We warned you. We told you. You knew it, so don't be crying the blues when it's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and you're like, how do I get the Ravens game? I don't have Amazon Prime. Boo-hoo, figure it out. Sorry. I don't want to be the Scrooge already in the holiday season coming up, but hey, you had some time, guys. Sorry, but you'll probably know plenty of people has a Fire Stick or Amazon Prime, and it's being shown out there in the bars. I know the bars and the restaurants have been showing them as far as some of the spots that my friends and I have been going to. So they got it. So find a friend, find a streaming device. There's a way to catch it, but Amazon Prime, your home for Thursday night football and the Baltimore Ravens, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers matchup. It's going to be a dandy. I can't wait to get this thing rolling. Wish I was going to Tampa, as I alluded to earlier. It was one I circled on the calendar, but unfortunately could not work out. But I know a lot of folks who are either not only down in the area already who live there, but are going to taking the flights down and tripping down for the game. And I can't wait. Hope a lot of Flock members are showing their pride and the sight that we won our very first championship, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, for Super Bowl 35. But not playing for a title this time. We're playing for pride, playing for a fifth win. We're trying to give the Bucs a fifth loss. Number five is on the line. Is Bucs going to get number five loss or Ravens going to get number fifth win? Who knows? Don't know how it's going to look out. But all we know is we're going to root hard and let's hope for the best. And let's hope the Ravens aren't mid, because there's been a lot of mid and mediocrity in the NFL, Ravens included. Let's get off the snide. How about let's score some touchdowns? Let's score some points. Let's get back to dominant Raven football as we know it. And the GOAT's on the other side, but we have our own GOAT. Like you said, number nine, Justin Tucker. What's it going to come down to? Is it going to come down to a GOAT kick, or is it going down to a GOAT pass? Remains to be seen, but whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a doozy. Let's go down to Tampa, Florida. Let's root hard, and how about it, Baltimore Ravens? Let's go down to fly down to Tampa, and let's fly high with a W.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.